Welcome back.
Hello.
Yay.
Thank
Hello.
you. I am here with Katie Rich from Vanity Fair.
Hello. I'm so happy to be back after missing a week.
You had good reasons.
I mean, bachelorettes can't party for themselves, so there it was.
Nick Davis from Nick's Flick Picks.
I am the American hustler.
And Joe Reed from The Wire.
I am the Nebraska. That didn't work very well.
None of us are from Nebraska, so we won't take offense.
Okay. Why would it be offensive that I said I was from Nebraska?
you're appropriating our Nebraskan culture.
Oh, okay, that's fine. That's good.
You are the buffalo.
So we thought we'd start this week by putting Katie on the spot, because last week we chose each of our favorite films by each of the nominated directors. So Katie has to do that really quickly. Go.
No. Okay, I feel like I picked the cliched answers for just about everybody, and after confessing that I also have not seen Mean Streets, so maybe that I would have said it for Scorsese, but I picked Goodfellas. Come on.
Yay!
For Steve McQueen, it's 12 Years a Slave, although I haven't seen Hunger since it premiered at the New York Film Festival, and I've heard people say they still think that's his best, so I can go back and reconsider that. Cuarón's Children of Men, that movie's a masterpiece, not enough people saw it. It's still completely devastating.
I've noticed you're saving that one.
Oh, well, no, this is just the order you gave it to me.
Oh, okay.
For Pain, I do like Election, but I really loved The Descendants. And that's another one I haven't revisited since the heat of its Oscar year, but I loved that movie. I liked that it had heart to it, even though I think some people would argue it wasn't really there. So
I was going to say wrong answer.
I know. What I was saying. You guys are going to throw me through a trapdoor. But, I mean, as always, these are all subject to change. And then for Russell, I picked Flirting with Disaster. That movie's hilarious. I really am not nearly as into his late period, this whatever trend he's on, as his earlier, crazier stuff. And Flirting with Disaster, I feel like, is the best and funniest of them.
And
so now we can have a poll online where you find out which podcaster are you, based on your choices.
Make that quiz.
That's right.
I think someone
so
needs,
many page views.
Yeah, I think somebody needs to make one of those. Which online quiz are you, polls?
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty sure somebody's made that. We're through that looking glass already.
Yeah, so now you know all of our favorites by all of those directors. Subject to change.
Of course.
Especially with the prolific ones.
Yeah.
And while we were away, the BAFTAs took place. Does anybody have any strong feelings about what occurred?
I mean, I'm curious if anyone thinks that Barkhad Abdi is now a legit. I mean, I guess we'll talk about this later, but that would seem to be the one thing everyone wanted to talk about, but it seemed kind of crazy talk to me. Mm-hmm. Because Jared Leto was not nominated.
Yeah, I don't know if it means very much for the Oscars, but we could probably all enjoy the BAFTAs a lot more if we just sort of like, oh, cool, Barkhad Abdi got an award this season, like at a fairly major award show. That's fantastic. And sort of, I'm trying very hard to not let the "but what does it all mean" thing sort of jump into my head, because then it's sort of like, because then your immediate next reaction has to be, but he has no shot at the Oscar. And that's a bummer for let me enjoy Barkhad Abdi for a couple minutes.
Right. And that also exacerbates the problem that we have where, everything is viewed in relation to that. And that's what stops everyone from being themselves, because they want to be predictive or that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Did he say he was the captain now in his speech?
I didn't actually see his speech.
He should have, though. I feel like he should have.
Tina Fey can't be the only person who gets to say that at an award show this year.
I just love that was his ad-lib.
I know!
And not in the script. That is kind of amazing.
I think Billy Ray's pretty happy about that, too.
Yeah.
He's probably like, why didn't I think of that?
I know.
He's still reworking that Catherine Keener scene over
as well he should.
He's heard our complaints and he's going to re-release a new cut next
year.
Yeah,
yes, of course.
The writer's cut. Be a new a new wave on Blu-ray.
The one thing from the BAFTAs that really did sort of freak a lot of people out was that Jennifer Lawrence beat Lupita Nyong'o for supporting actress, and that one I for sure saw a lot of people be like, well, great, now she's going to win the Oscar and everything is terrible. And
I think that's crazy talk too.
I don't know if it's crazy talk, but I feel like it's no more or less likely than it was a week ago. I still felt like that race was pretty close. Mm-hmm. And I don't think you can separate the fact that Lawrence didn't win the BAFTA for Silver Linings Playbook last year, so that's a whole big element in the Oscar voting that mm-hmm. isn't.
Yeah, but they remember, let's go way back, remember that they also said that about Hilary Swank with Million Dollar Baby when she won the SAG.
Sure. All right, I'm going to tell...
Because she hadn't won it before, so they were making up.
Yes, I feel like the hard truth that maybe needs to be said is that Annette Bening was never going to win that Oscar. I know, I'm sorry.
Everybody's...
Get out, Joe.
Oh, my God.
You're talking about the second Oscar.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because
no,
the first time
one.
She definitely had a legitimate.
Oh,
chance.
For sure. Completely. Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean for being Julia.
Yeah. I think if anybody was going to steal that from Hillary, it would have been Imelda.
Yeah, I think so too.
With another month of voting.
Well, I think if Jennifer Lawrence wins, we will finally get to see a winner exit the stage and hand the statue to a fellow nominee. Uh-huh. So, Bing brains the fuck out of that. You know?
I forget who on Twitter last Sunday said it, but after she had won and there was a whole lot of chatter, and somebody was just like, she's basically done everything she can do to tell the Academy voters that she doesn't want to win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's basically vanished from the face of the earth, which I think is exactly her prerogative.
And hard for somebody of that fame level to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it helps that she's filming two movies, but, like, yeah. I think she...
Yeah, but some people would still find a way.
Sure. Oh, of course. Absolutely.
People who need the attention.
But there's at least the excuse there beyond just being like, I'm not going to your thing.
Yeah. I hope she and Michael Fassbender are just hanging out and being like, so, this week, how are we going to avoid everyone again? They're like on an island somewhere, not...
I think she's probably got a lucrative side gig playing Philomena Lee at all those appearances. Because there's no way that woman's at everything just by herself.
Like, I know. No, she can't possibly have that stamina.
Play Mystique and you learn things.
Yeah, that's right. The next X-Men movie. X-Men.
That would be my favorite one, if that
X-Men,
were the case.
The Philomena Award campaign.
Yeah, forget CGI. Let's see Jennifer Lawrence in the makeup as each character.
Yeah, exactly.
So, also while we were away, Pink and Bette Midler were both announced as performers.
I know.
Which is exciting.
Pink is like, everyone's being very vague about what Pink is going to do, right? Isn't that the whole...
Yeah, no one really quite knows how she fits in. I feel like with Bette Midler, immediately people settled on the In Memoriam segment because Streisand did it last year and that's sort of a template. Mm. And also because the producers did say something about, like, she will contribute to what will be a very... you know, moving moment, mm-hmm. or something like that. And that, so whatever their quote was, it just sort of screamed In Memoriam.
Right. But there's also, and I hadn't thought about this until someone else mentioned it, but there's also the Wizard of Oz tribute.
Oh.
So somebody is going to be singing something from the Wizard of Oz.
Wait, what's the peg? Is it...
Why? What?
Five or something? Or what's the peg for Wizard of Oz?
The 75th 85? Anniversary.
Wow. Man, has it been so long?
Well, that I had forgotten about that. So yeah, so one of them will probably sing Somewhere Over the Rainbow, and there we have it.
And maybe
it's the 75th anniversary of a lot of movies,
right?
That's true.
Including
that's
including the one that, you know, nearly swept the Oscars that year.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's harder to pay tribute to Gone with the Wind in the year of 12 Years a Slave.
I would love to see them try.
I thought for Pink that she would be performing one of her hits that Ellen would then mom dance down the aisles to in her entrance, but. Mm.
Well, there's also the chance that Somewhere Over the Rainbow could be sung from the ceiling.
Oh, yeah.
Since Pink is fond of that.
She'll be
for the In Memoriam segment. Like, it could be a whole seamless tribute thing.
Which brings us to Oscar night and our prediction.
At last, we arrive there.
It's a wonderful night for Oscar. Oscar, Oscar. Who will win?
The challenge we have here is there are a lot of categories, and the podcast can only be an hour long. So we're going to try to do this very, very quickly because we want to touch on each category.
Best traditional Latin album.
Oh, if only Oscars had that many categories. Then I feel like Annette Bening could have won something.
Yes, perhaps.
Yes, for sure.
So let's start with sound mixing and sound editing. And just to reiterate for people, because people always confuse these categories... And Nick, he's an expert at this, so I always see him at his sounding boards in Chicago, mixing things together. but basically, the main difference is, and it seems counterintuitive, based on the titles, but sound editing is actually the creation of the sound, and sound mixing is the way all of the sounds come together and the levels of the sound. So, like, for instance, if you have a movie where you can't hear people's dialogue, that's bad sound mixing. And if you have a movie...
Or it's just the artist. Ha, ha.
So anyway, and usually they have very similar nominations, because maybe, you know, the Academy can't tell them apart either. We have 1 minute. Should win, will win.
Okay.
Go, Joe.
Best sound mixing, I feel like, should win. I think it's a very strong category. I think Captain Phillips, Gravity, and Inside Llewyn Davis are all really, really phenomenal nominees. I would probably throw a vote to Inside Llewyn Davis. Maybe making me one of those Oscar voters who are like, but the music was so wonderful, and sort of like giving it a de facto music award. But I thought everything sounded great, like, for a reason. And I think it, you know, deserves something for that. For editing, sound editing, I'm torn. I don't know. The fact that All Is Lost had so little dialogue, I feel like should help it out a little bit. But Gravity just seems like the one that sort of enveloped everybody, and everything sounded exactly as menacing or as hopeful as it needed to, in terms of just like the things that were all out there and the lack of things. Timer?
Yes.
Are you fucking kidding me? Jesus Christ. All right, Gravity. God.
We got to keep on topic somehow.
Okay. All right. Llewyn Davis and Gravity. And Will Wynn is going to be Gravity. Like, that's not even worth talking about, I don't think.
I'm with Joe. Gravity will win them both. But I do, I want Inside Llewyn Davis to win 10 Oscars, but if it can get sound mixing, I would settle for that. But yeah, also shout out to All Is Lost, because that sound in that movie was amazing.
Yeah, I concur. I love the sound in both All Is Lost and Gravity, which I think are very strong nominations, but I totally get what Joe's saying about Inside Llewyn Davis.
So wait, what are your votes?
Gravity is going to win them both. I would actually like All Is Lost to win the editing, just because it got stiffed in some ways. And because I thought sound was great.
I am a Gravity All Is Lost voter myself. And I think Gravity will win both. Kept it tight.
Yeah, you did.
Original song.
Just singing in unison.
Yeah.
What we know is going to win.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's obviously going to be Let It Go. I can't vote for Alone Yet Not Alone, so I have to choose something else, right? Okay. yeah, Let It Go. It's the best. I mean, I like Happy as well, and the Moon Song is, you know, very lovely within that movie. But Let It Go is going to be the one that I remember 10 years from now, and none of the other ones probably will. So, yeah, and that's the easy will win.
It's rare that an original song gets to be, like, the huge song of its moment, and this is one of those, so let it win.
Let it win.
Let it win!
If only one of us could sing, we could make a mix of
that. Got it.
You don't know.
I'm sorry. That would mean...
Yeah, how's it feel, right?
That would mean... I do want to say, in another year without Frozen, I would be really, really in love with the Moon Song. Because I love it when original songs actually contribute to their movies. That's my feeling on the category. If it doesn't contribute, maybe it shouldn't be nominated. And I think that's a really lovely moment in that movie.
But your preference is Let It Go?
It is, yes.
I like all four. I might vote for Happy.
Woo!
but I'm predicting Let It Go to win, but I wouldn't be surprised if one of the other ones won, I guess. It seemed, I don't know, maybe the Globes just freaked me out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, God.
But I think Let It Go will win. It would be nice if it weren't Defying Gravity.
Redux? To
win a prize.
Yes. Yeah.
But Defying Gravity never got to win an Oscar, so just that's consider it a win for that.
Or even a Tony, as it turned out. Yeah.
And never will, because they're never making that movie.
Yeah,
and it wouldn't be an original song anyway. So.
That's true.
Stand that. Why? Of course they're going to make that movie. There's way too much money to be made.
I feel like Frozen just made all of it.
Yeah.
Another time without a timer.
Original score.
Original score, I'm going to be real boring and say Gravity is both the will win and it's my pick for should win. I know there's a bit of push back against scores that are that big and loud and omnipresent, but I could probably listen to that thing front to back once a week, that score. And I think it's up against, well, there's really only one other score that I think is a possibility in terms of something I would vote for, and that's Her, which I think is lovely but fine. You know, I would love for the Arcade Fire folks to win an Oscar. That would be super. But I think Gravity is going to ultimately take it.
This is such a weird category. I feel like I usually have very strong score opinions, and this year I don't. Like,
there's such oatmeal-y scores besides Gravity and Her.
I know. I'm so mad about Thomas Newman's face in this category. And the Philomena score is better than I think I even remembered from having seen the movie, and then I listened to it again separately. And Alexander Spad does deserve an Oscar. So, I mean, I feel like it could happen, but yeah, my pick would be Her, and I think I agree with Joe that it's going to be Gravity.
I just want to say that I don't have strong opinions, so I feel like I'm an abstainer in this category. But I would, if I had a ballot, I would vote for Philomena simply because I would like to get Desplat's win out of the way, and I really object to the Gravity score existing, even though I think it's a good score.
Wow.
I just think it's completely, you know, a cheap way to go about that, to make such a big point of there's no sound, and make such a big point of her breathing, which is kind of an interesting way to score a movie, and then ba-boom all the time with the score.
Yeah.
Wait, you're Stephen Price? That was amazing. I would vote for Gravity, and I think it'll win. But I did read an online article by a composer who said that the Philomena and Saving Mr. Banks scores are just leagues beyond in quality and intricacy the other ones, which I thought was kind of... And I don't know anything about any of this, so I was curious about that. Apparently not everybody thinks they're oatmeal. I'm with you guys, but...
Yeah, no, but that's interesting.
There's like something more to learn. I don't know. Yeah, he was a strong, strong Saving Mr. Banks voter.
Huh. Hmm. Well, I do love Thomas Newman generally. So
does Thomas Newman have an Oscar?
He does not.
He does not.
No. Yeah, so that's crazy.
If they would have just given all the Skyfall people who had been nominated both times but never won last year, we would.
So like Deakins and Newman win this year, despite
like
not,
just, interesting like Newman, work. Deakins, and Russell last year, and then we would have all been set.
Yeah. But I'm with Katie. I thought that the Saving Mr. Banks score was a uniquely bad score. So
yeah. Oh God.
Yeah.
Maybe that was the sound mixing.
No going back, no turning back. We're well past.
Best documentary.
The caveat that I've only seen 3 of the 5 thus far. I should probably be seeing the other 2 today, actually. I really did not care for Dirty Wars. I'm really kind of bummed that that even got nominated, because it was such a strong year for documentaries, and there were so many better ones, and it really kind of annoyed me. God, flip a coin between Active Killing and 20 Feet from Stardom for me. I think one is the most delightful movie I've seen all year and the most like actual happiness I've gotten from a movie. And the other one is 20 Feet from Stardom. No, just kidding. The Active Killing, I think, is a phenomenal achievement and really like daring filmmaking, and it would probably get a vote from me. Although I think Will Win is either The Square or 20 Feet from Stardom. Gun to my head, I'd say The Square.
Yeah, I feel like The Square, if people see it, given all of the other revolutions that are happening around the world right now, could get a major push because it's so relevant, even though it's about a revolution a couple years ago. But I don't know. I feel like 20 Feet from Stardom could pull this out. And as much as I think The Act of Killing is amazing, 20 Feet from Stardom, I don't know, I'd be happy with that win.
I'm a huge Act of Killing fan, so that would get my wood vote, but I think The Square will get it.
Oh my God, we finished the category before our timer went up.
Yay!
And now we're on to animated feature.
So I haven't seen Ernest and Celestine in this group, which I think it could be decisive because all the people who have seen it tend to love it. At present, I'm a Wind Rises voter, but I think Wind Rises, Frozen, and The Croods are all really good. In fact, The Croods might be my runner-up here. I couldn't believe it. I just saw it last week. But I would vote for The Wind Rises, and I'm sure Frozen will win, and Frozen's lovely, so that's great.
I have not seen Despicable Me 2. I agree with Nick that The Croods was rather lovely and better than I thought it would be, certainly. I saw Ernest and Celestine yesterday, though, and I loved it. I absolutely adored it. I think it's really, really... It sort of has that veneer of those sort of French language, you know, cutesy whatever, whimsical animated ones that tend to pass me by, but this one, it's a really sweet story, and I loved Frozen, and when Frozen does win, I will be perfectly happy.
I think The Wind Rises is pretty amazing, but I will be happy to back Frozen. And I haven't seen The Croods or Despicable Me 2 or Anderson Celestine, so I have less of an opinion on this than most. Mm.
I have seen all of them except for Despicable Me 2, and if for such a poor year in animation, it turned out the category is actually really good. I like all four of the ones I've seen quite a lot. At first, I thought Ernest and Celestine was my favorite, but Frozen is this weird thing where I see everything that's wrong with it, but I just can't help but love it anyway. So I'm gonna be happy when it wins. Best foreign film.
I'd like to point out, I haven't done the research yet, but I don't know if there's been a year recently where there are four good nominees in documentary, animated feature, and song. That's amazing. Those categories are often wastelands.
Yeah.
Which makes me feel better about the fact that I don't like the foreign film race at all. I think Moving Picture is phenomenal, and it would get my vote in half of a heartbeat. I don't know what's going to win, and I think it could be any of them except for Omar. I think The Great Beauty will probably win, which might be my second choice, and I'm not even that crazy about it.
Yeah, I've only seen two of the five thus far. I left in my quest to see all the nominees, I've left three of the five foreign language films for this last week. So I've seen The Great Beauty and I've seen The Hunt. I did not care for The Great Beauty. So I guess by default my vote would go to The Hunt. And I think those are the two that are sort of flip a coin and one of them will win. I think I'm with Nick that The Great Beauty will probably win.
The Great Beauty is the only one I've seen, and I liked it a lot, but I don't know why it's the consensus favorite to win. Can anyone explain that to me?
It won the BAFTA.
Sorry.
Did it also win the Globe?
Yes.
I think that, I don't know, I guess just because it seems like stylistically excessive and vivid, but is also fun, that looks like a good cocktail for a win to me.
That makes sense.
That's a filmmaker who's done some work in Hollywood, even though not many of his films have actually been completed, but I think people do know him.
Oh, okay. I did not know that.
Well, like that Sean Penn movie.
Okay, so, yes, our time is up for foreign, but I have not finished watching all of them either, which makes me feel really bad since it's such a category that I pay attention to. My favorite is, I wouldn't even hesitate, it would be The Missing Picture for my vote, for should win. But I also really liked... Or parts of Broken Circle Breakdown I thought were tremendous. I just don't completely love it as a whole. I actually think Broken Circle Breakdown has a shot at the win. Because it's very emotional. I haven't seen Great Beauty yet, but everything I hear about it, I don't quite understand why it's the front runner. In terms of, you know, what its content is. I'm kind of surprised it's done as well as it has. But I should shut up since I haven't seen it.
It doesn't really lead with its content, you could say that.
Okay.
Yep.
So now we're on to makeup and hair.
I think this one's hard, because every time I think about... I would not be a Jackass voter. I wasn't that dazzled. Lone Ranger and Dallas Buyers Club both have their virtues, but there are also things about both of them that I'm a little put off by. And I think that the makeup on Ron is really great in Dallas Buyers Club. I like that the makeup, not just of Tonto, but of everybody in Lone Ranger, is really eclectic and kind of fun. I think I might vote for that, just because Rayon I wasn't thrilled with. So I guess I'd vote for Lone Ranger, and I think Dallas Buyers Club will probably win.
I don't like any of these three as nominees in this category, actually. I feel like I'm with you, Nick, that the makeup and hairstyling on Rayon didn't quite feel nomination worthy. Lone Ranger, I thought the old man makeup on Johnny Depp was atrocious.
I thought
it was like a Mission Impossible rubber mask worthy kind of thing. Like, it just really, really horrified me. Which I guess means I'm a default bad grandpa voter, except I would never do that because it's the worst movie. And I just feel like I would be sending a terrible message to the children if we allowed something that bad as a whole to be an Oscar winner. So I guess I would vote for Dallas Buyers Club completely by default. I think the Lone Ranger will win.
So I did.
Interesting.
I had a blast interviewing all of the nominees in this category, which was the first time I've ever done anything like that. And it was super fun. And the big revelation for me talking to the Dallas Buyers Club woman is that she had a $250 budget to do everything.
Yeah, that's
and
amazing. All,
and that McConaughey and Leto didn't gain or lose any weight over the course of filming. They stayed like that incredibly emaciated thin, and she kind of puffed them back up with makeup, which, I mean, I can see what you mean about the makeup on Rayon being a little iffy, but that transformation on that limited budget really kind of blew my mind. So, and I think this is an easy spot for people who are fans of Dallas Buyers Club to give it an Oscar. So I think it'll win, and I think it should win.
I would concur with your reasons why it's going to win. I'm still, you know, completely weirded out that they didn't nominate American Hustle, which I think was easily going to be the winner.
Yeah.
Visual effects.
Wait, who are you voting for, though?
Oh, that's a tougher one. I'm totally in between you and Joe in that I thought the Lone Ranger makeup was absolutely incredible, except for Johnny Depp's old age, which was so bad I just couldn't bring myself to vote for it. So I guess I would, by default, go with Dallas Buyers Club. But I find that I don't know what it is with makeup artists. Like, why is old age makeup always so bad? They always overdo it. It was like when Cate Blanchett in Benjamin Button, and she looked like she was 150 years old when she was in the deathbed. I was like, why? She's not supposed to be that old. She was like 100 years older than Jessica Tandy.
Listen, they didn't give it to Edward Scissorhands for old Winona Ryder, and that was probably the best old person on the movie ever, so whatever.
We're going way back now.
Yeah, hey, I will pull it out.
visual web terms, that's like BC.
Visual effects.
Well, I'm going to thank my husband first, because if you thank him last, to play you out with the music. I want him to know that everything that really... Okay. Gravity. So thank you, Derek.
We're making Gravity.
Yeah, I was going to say, Derek had a hand in Gravity.
No, I'm just thanking my husband first, you know, that's all. What else is there to say, really?
Yeah, I mean, it's true. I feel like...
My runner-up is Star Trek. Does that make it more interesting? That would be number two, but Gravity.
I feel like my number two would be Smog, because the dragon really was impressive. For as much as I didn't care for the rest of that movie, I thought the visual effects work on the Smog parts of Desolation of Smog were actually very, very good. And I thought Iron Man 3 had its virtues with all the scenes with the suit sort of flying onto him as he's in motion. I thought that was really cool to look at. But Gravity. Gravity should win. Gravity will win. Absolutely.
I would go so far as to say that Gravity is going to win by such a huge percentage of votes that the Oscars won't have seen anything like it if we could release the details.
The first 100% vote total.
Right.
Maybe. Well, no, there's some people in the Academy who worked on The Hobbit. So
oh, that's true.
Oh, yeah,
they can at least vote for themselves. Everyone can feel good about this win for Gravity. Nothing else.
Yes, but I agreed that some of the others have their moments. Iron Man 3, I love the final climax. It's crazy. And the Lone Ranger, the train crash and stuff, it's pretty good. Film editing.
It's you, my friend. You're starting.
Oh, sorry. I had an order. So this one is a fascinating category. I don't know how we're going to fit this into 2 minutes, because really, the precursor awards have been all over the place, which is a good thing, I think, because it means people are actually thinking about their ballots. Which is not always the case. So we have 12 Years a Slave versus American Hustle versus Captain Phillips versus Dallas Buyers Club versus Gravity. And Gravity has not managed to win the precursors, which kind of surprised me. And so then I started thinking about the fact that there's Gravity as well as 12 Years a Slave, which also hasn't been winning prizes here, is that they have very, very long continuous shots. And even though that's also a form of editing, knowing when not to cut.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that it impresses people when they're voting for editing.
Yeah.
So I actually think I would vote in this category, I would vote for 12 Years a Slave, but I actually think that Captain Phillips is going to win.
I also am predicting Captain Phillips, which is also what I would vote for. I thought that the way of using the editing to sometimes make these look like a totally fair fight and sometimes make it look overwhelmingly like an unfair fight, and interpolating shots of the boat so that it was hard to know exactly how much of an effort was being made to apprehend him and how scared the Somalis ought to be, and it was exciting, but it didn't lose its character beats. I thought it was super impressive. And I do think, well, everything you said, the editing is impressive on the other two, even though it's kind of in-camera editing in a way. Gravity especially, I imagine it was so complicated to shoot, I can't imagine they had a whole lot of footage they decided not to use. So,
Don't you wish that my alarm setting had an Inception?
Yeah, I do. Or just like very nice sweeping orchestra music. To,
yeah, a very emotional theme. Playoff.
I agree with you guys about the editing on Captain Phillips. I tend to be a one issue voter with editing, which maybe isn't the greatest thing, but I feel like if a movie really, really nails suspense and tension, I feel like that to me automatically ups my chances to vote for it for editing. And I think that Captain Phillips was just tight as a drum. I thought it was fantastic. As for Will Win, I think it's a real crapshoot, because I feel like easily Gravity could get swept up with just like, swept up with a sweep. I think if there's a chance that it just sort of like wins everything below the line. I think Captain Phillips could win because Greengrass movies tend to do well in editing. And I think if we go by the best editing equals most editing, I would not be shocked to see American Hustle pull this out.
I go for Captain Phillips. I love Captain Phillips. I want to see it win something. And I agree with everything Nick said about its virtues. And I think I'm going to see it will win. You know, which one of the Bourne movies won in this category. I can't remember which one.
Ultimatum.
Yeah. So Greengrass has a track record here. Let's see him pull it out.
Okay. Which moves us on to production design. The Great Gatsby has been winning some early prizes here, so I think it has a good shot at this win. My personal vote is an easy call for Her, which I found the design elements just, you know, incredibly convincing and also interesting. So that's easily what I would vote for. I'm not entirely sure The Great Gatsby is going to win this, but that's probably the safest prediction.
I think it is the safest prediction, but I'm going to predict and vote for Her also. My second favorite would be Gravity. But I just saw Her again last night, and I do think the amount of creativity, the total counterintuition of like making a movie that could be about an isolated loner, and it's that full of primary colors and so many details. I think it's just so impressive that they nominated it, and I hope it wins.
Can you really quickly, like, I'm curious, why would Gravity be your second choice? Because I think Gravity looks great, but it just doesn't seem to have a lot in terms of set or, you know.
I loved all the interiors of all the space capsules, especially the fact that they felt so different from each other. I thought that they did a good job of not just having like a sleek motherboard of indecipherable electronics, but they all looked like things that a human was actually going to have to operate. That there probably was a right answer for how to do it, instead of like a lot of spaceship movies where you just, you know, I guess he knows what button to push. Yeah. And I think there are spectacles like the cords of whatever the parachute thing is, getting wrapped up in all the machinery, and there's a lot of iconic, that's a boring word, but a lot of instantly impressive images, decisions made early to keep it sleek and elegant, keep the color palette narrow. I thought it was beautiful.
Anyone else?
That's not my fault. You asked me.
It's true.
I agree with Nick about the detail work on Gravity being strong, although I could never in good conscience vote for it just because of those floating ping pong paddles on the Chinese station. I just thought that was such a cringe moment. I couldn't quite deal with that. I think Gatsby probably will win, again, barring a complete Gravity sweep, which actually could happen. And I mean, Her is kind of the hipster choice, but it's totally my pick for like head and shoulders above everything else in terms of production design in this category.
You're a hipster from Nebraska?
I know. I defy all the odds.
They exist.
Rare beast. Yeah, I like Her. I don't know. Maybe I'll predict it to win just because it got a Best Picture nomination, so there's clearly love for it in there and people have seen it, so maybe.
Wow.
We'll say it right now. If Her wins Best Production Design, it will win Best Picture.
That is flawless logic.
And Best Supporting Actress.
Yes, exactly.
Write in votes.
Yep.
Okay, cinematography. This is an easy call for Gravity, because as we know, in the past 4 years, the Academy has shown that they only really care about 3D special effects in terms of cinematography now, which, not that the cinematography is not great in it, but I think it's a slam dunk to win, which will be nice that Emmanuel Lubezki finally has an Oscar. My personal vote would probably go to Gravity, actually, now that 12 Years a Slave is not nominated, which is my least favorite omission.
Yeah. Insane. Yeah.
That's crazy.
I'd vote for Gravity, too, although it's... these categories are so good. There are so many great contenders.
Yes.
I could imagine myself voting for any of them in almost all the last four categories we talked about. And the next one. But I would vote for Gravity just over Prisoners. And I do think it'll win.
Yeah, I feel like I'd like to see Prisoners one more time and just really pay attention to the cinematography. I feel like there was so much else happening in that movie that that sort of never jumped out at me, which I don't think is a negative at all. I thought Inside Llewyn Davis looked like $1 billion, even though I didn't so much end up falling for the movie the way a lot of other people did. But, like, gosh, it just looked very nice and chilly and sort of remote, and I liked all of that. I thought The Grandmaster was fairly over the top in a lot of respects, and the cinematography just seemed kind of overly operatic, even though I know that was sort of the style they were going for. So Gravity gets my vote. I think Gravity obviously will win, and I mean, for as much as we can sort of maybe nitpick a little bit, I feel like, just thank God Emmanuel Lubezki is winning an Oscar. There's no guarantee that geniuses in their field will win an Oscar ever, so I will be happy for that moment.
Yeah, I wish I could give an award to Bruno Delano for changing the way I see winter in New York. Like, I've thought about Inside Llewyn Davis all winter, because the way that movie looks just looks like the entire world. But yeah, we all think that Gravity should win, and I do too.
Costume design. This is another category that looks like it's going to The Great Gatsby. That's the safe prediction. I do think that American Hustle has a shot as a dark horse winner. And American Hustle is actually what I would vote for.
Why is American Hustle a dark horse? I would think it would be a slam dunk.
Well, just because Catherine Martin usually wins this category when she's up for it.
Fair enough.
And she does have the advantage of the movie being, you know, almost entirely about its design elements.
Has she won more than once?
Am I exaggerating? It's possible I am. She won for Moulin Rouge. Maybe that is... Oh, and she was nominated for... That's right, she didn't win for Australia, but she was nominated.
But she won for Moulin Rouge in both categories.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll just say ditto to everything Nathaniel said. I vote for American Hustle. I hope it might win. I think it'll be Gatsby. But plunging necklines, man, that's what I'm about.
And also, I just like the variety, like...
Yes.
Lady Edith versus Rosalind, like, they definitely have their own specific... Like, even though everyone has plunging necklines, they all are dressed differently.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think it was very, very good costuming.
And it would be my last choice in production design, but my first here. So isn't that interesting to the kids out there?
Yeah. They don't always go together, everybody. Lesson learned. I should say I just saw The Invisible Woman yesterday, and I liked it a good deal better than I thought it would. I kind of was expecting a bit of a bore, and I found myself pretty into it. The costumes are not flashy enough to be a threat to win, but I think I'm glad that it got nominated. I did not like the look of Gatsby at all. That movie really just sort of, like, missed me. I think that is as much of a mess as American Hustle is a mess, but... The American Hustle costumes were at least a fun part of that mess, and yeah, I think that's a will win, and I should win. God, it's amazing to me, for as little as I liked American Hustle, how much I'm willing to vote for it in certain categories.
I like it when a movie's costumes become part of the narrative and part of what's iconic about it, so I hope that American Hustle can get rewarded for that, because I didn't like it that much either, but those dresses, those are something.
Yeah.
All right, adapted screenplay. Oh, man. I was doing so well with keeping track of everything that we were doing. Ah, here we go. There's a ton of good choices in there, and I don't feel like there's an obvious pick, but I think 12 Years a Slave would be the one to kind of get shoved in if you think it's winning Best Picture, which, spoiler alert, I do. If I had a personal choice, as weird as it is, like Before Midnight, I feel like is such a giant achievement of writing and character work and, you know, but 15 years of work together. So I would love to see that win somehow, but my guess would go to 12 Years a Slave.
I'm kind of torn on this category. As you all know, 12 Years a Slave, again, spoiler alert, is my favorite film of the year. But I actually am not sure I would vote for the screenplay. So I would probably also vote for Before Midnight, both as culmination and just because I think that much written conversation and keeping it interesting is amazing. But I actually, prediction-wise, I keep thinking Wolf of Wall Street and people think I'm crazy, but I just think its fans are so fanatical about it, I could see it surprising with a win.
I'm not crazy about the script of 12 Years a Slave either. At least if I have any reservation about the movie, which I love, it would be in the script. But I am not really a solid fan of any of the competitors. I guess Philomena would be my second choice, because I do think that movie finds ways to keep being interesting even after what you think is the crucial reveal has happened midway through the film. And it's about a lot of things, even though the direction's a little dopey. But I do think that 12 Years a Slave among this group would get my vote.
Yeah, I think 12 Years a Slave is going to win, and yeah, I think sometimes it's hard to see it as a writerly kind of movie, but I think among this competition, I think it will win. Although, if there's any place that the barrage of Philomena campaigning will pay off, it would be in this category. So, I mean, if it did pull off the upset, I wouldn't be so shocked that I'd die. I might just sort of go into a coma for a little bit. In terms of people I would want to see walking up on that stage, I think the Before Midnight trio, certainly. But I think if I were to cast a vote just based on merit, it would probably still go to 12 Years a Slave, despite slight reservations.
I think that conversation they have outside about his third novel and how it's different from the second novel, and now everybody's anticipating it and they have these expectations, is my Chinese ping pong paddle of the Before Midnight script. Get me out of here.
Understandable.
Next year, our awards will be the Chinese ping pong paddle awards
for dubious moments in otherwise great films.
Original screenplay, I haven't been keeping up on the precursors, so I was kind of surprised to see that Spike Jonze had won for the WGA, but then again, I can't think of what else I would call a frontrunner. It's a very weird category, and I wonder if maybe Woody Allen would have been a shoe-in if it hadn't been for, you know, news recently. Her would be my personal choice, but I'm torn on what I think would win. Like, could Dallas Buyers Club pull this out? Because people seem to love that. Like, could Nebraska win it? I don't know. I might need your guidance on this, because I don't think I have a good sense of what's going to win this. But I would pick her.
I am not confident about my predictions, but I am predicting American Hustle. Because I do think that they're going to want to give it an Oscar or two. And I think this is a legitimate place to do so, because a lot of people tend to think of screenplays as dialogue. And it's got so many great lines in it. Obviously there's more to writing than dialogue. But I do think that could really help it here. Although her might be the safer prediction.
I think her is... Wait, and that's what you would vote for too?
I would vote for... I think I might actually vote for Blue Jasmine, of all things.
Huh. Wow.
I haven't decided. I'm very torn on these nominations.
I think her is going to win for a few reasons. It just seems like the most original screenplay-ish, in terms of they do sometimes Eternal Sunshine it and go for something that just is a really inspired concept. And Spike Jonze seems like a beloved figure, and David O. Russell is not, despite his Oscar, like, personally, it seems like, is not a beloved person. I think I would vote for the American Hustle script, which I like better than the direction, just barely over her for my own choice. But I think her is going to take it.
Yeah, I feel like a couple interesting things about this category. I feel like I don't want to see anybody of the day after talking about how Blue Jasmine didn't win because of a backlash against Woody Allen. Never going to win. I would vote for her, clearly. Among these five, I think it's my clear favorite. I think if Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind hadn't won back in its year, I would have less hope for it, for Spike Jonze winning this year. But I think he will. I think at the Golden Globes, when he won, the room really, really was just such a warm outpouring of happiness for him. And that really sort of, like, opened my eyes to, like, he's not this niche guy anymore. Like, this is a director that everybody really loves, and it seems like everybody really likes him on a personal level. So I think
he's in Moneyball.
Yeah.
And Wolf of Wall Street.
And Wolf of Wall Street, exactly, yeah.
Okay,
and Jackass.
So, and Jackass. And Jackass.
Supporting actor, we can do this one quickly.
We're way over time. Because we keep going beyond the time limits.
I ride or die for Michael Fassbender. I wish he was going to win, but it's going to be Jared Leto.
What Katie said, it's not a contest for me in this category. It's Fassbender with a friendly nod to Bradley Cooper, who I also love. But I think it's obvious that it's Leto.
I'm a total Cooper voter, but just barely over Barkhad Abdi. But yeah, Leto's winning.
Yeah, Leto's winning. I can't vote for Cooper because he's a lead. I will vote for Abdi, but Leto's winning, so that's all.
Ta-da!
Wow,
supporting actress. I still think Lupita Nyong'o is going to get this. I have a really hard time seeing Jennifer Lawrence getting two Oscars, and she seems to be the only threat. And good for Jennifer Lawrence for pulling back so that her backlash won't just get started so soon.
In this category, which I do think is a pretty, you know, solid group, other than the category fraud situation, I would vote for Lupita easily, but I'm fairly happy for all of them for being nominated for very various different reasons, even though they wouldn't be my five, you know?
I'm still pining for the Amy Adams and her nomination, both because I think she's extraordinary in it, and she would obviously have won, so that's sad.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I think Lupita Nyong'o easily is my favorite, and I think will win.
I hope Lupita wins because it will be great for her career. I hope Jennifer loses because that would be great for her career, and I actually think Lupita will pull it out, although all of my fingers are crossed.
Yeah, you're right to be nervous.
So, best actor. God, this category turned out to be so much worse than it could have been. Like, it really had a chance with Hanks and with Redford and with Joaquin Phoenix to be a really strong category, Oscar Isaac. And instead, we got a bunch of performances that I was lukewarm to negative on, plus Chiwetel Ejiofor, who I think is head and shoulders above everybody else in this category, should win. I think McConaughey will win. I think the momentum is too strong. It's become the narrative of this category all season. So...
I've been writing the McConaissance for a long time, so I can't be mad that he's now that he's going to win Best Actor. Even if I think Dallas Buyers Club is fine, I think he's really good in it. I'm happier with this category than I do as the resident than Joe is as the resident Wolf of Wall Street fan. I really wish Leonardo DiCaprio could just go ahead and get an Oscar so that he's not going to go win his Color of Money Oscar in 50 years. But yeah, I would pick Chiwetel probably, and then I do think McConaughey's going to win.
I am torn currently between Bruce Stern and JF4. So one of the two of them would get my vote, but I think McConaughey will win.
Would you vote for a tie?
No, I would watch them both back to back before I voted.
Over and over and over. I'm a solid McConaughey voter, which is why it's surprising that I feel a little melancholic about the fact that he's going to win. And I think that has a lot to do with Oscar Isaac and Joaquin Phoenix. But I would vote for him quickly, and I think he's got it.
We can all celebrate McConaughey winning, right? Like, nobody's going to be mad about this.
It's a great, you know, in terms of right time in a career, yes. It's very a happy circumstance. Just a total segue, which we shouldn't do since we're out of time. But True Detective... has anybody been watching True Detective?
Nope. I still have to start it. I haven't started it yet.
I'm a little behind, but
he just keeps, you know, cranking out these, like...
The anti-Norbit.
Yes.
He's amazing in True Detective, and I look forward to his Emmy win.
Yeah, I think he's really great in it with a role that has so many traps to be bad with, I think. Because I do think the writing is very, like, I hate the word, but there's no other really word. It's very pretentious. Like, the writing's very, very heavy, and he just has constant mouthfuls of, like, pontificating to do, but I think he's really good in it. He sells, like, really very intelligent in a way that surprised me in that show, because that's not been his typical type of character. But anyway, sorry.
For Best Actress, even without the extra bonus points from her, I am an Amy Adams voter here. Meryl Streep would be my runner-up, but I think Amy Adams had such a smart and not obvious take on the character. I couldn't wait for her to be back on screen every time, and she sells a lot of big moments without treating them as big moments. I think she's wonderful. I wish she had a shot.
Yeah, I feel like I end up talking about how much I love I love Amy Adams in American Hustle much more just because I'm always talking about how much I don't love the movie, but I do think she does phenomenal work, and you know, once again, great job with David O. Russell as her director. She really opens up with him. I think I would still probably vote for Cate Blanchett, just in terms to keep my conscience clean, because I really do think that was the performance of the year, and obviously she's winning. I don't think this Woody Allen backlash is going to touch her at all. I think any suggestions to that point are missing the point.
Yeah, I think Cate Blanchett's pretty unimpeachable in terms of the performance she gave and her track record and how many great performances she's given. And I mean, the fact that she only has a supporting statue is not a big deal, but that's worth voting for her for. I need to see American Hustle again. I love Amy Adams. I'm ready for her to finally win her Oscar, but I'm fine with Cate Blanchett winning this year.
Is that who you'd vote for?
I'd probably be between her and Amy Adams, with a nod to Meryl Streep, because I think she's gotten unfairly pilloried for that movie, which
me
I thought
she
was too. Pretty good.
I would vote for Cate Blanchett easily, and as you all know, that's a big deal for me, because I've been a Blanchett agnostic for most of my years, but I think she's just mammoth in that movie. She's so good in it. And I also think Amy Adams is really special in American Hustle for the reasons Nick mentioned. Best director, Cuarón is going to win. I would personally vote for Steve McQueen, but the interesting thing for me is I'm not one of those people who thinks that the two prizes should always go together, and I think that's a really annoying part of the commentary each year. Cuarón would actually be my second vote, even though Gravity is probably my least favorite of the pictures nominated.
I think he'll definitely win, but I would vote for Steve McQueen also. I agree with everything that you just said, and I would be more likely to vote for Gravity and director than picture, but I would want 12 Years a Slave to win both.
Yeah, I can think of no happier outcome this year than in this year of the tie in the awards season for Cuarón and McQueen to tie for Best Director. That would probably be my greatest Oscar moment ever. I think I would vote for McQueen slightly, although I think Cuarón is the predicted winner here, for sure.
I haven't, as much as I do like 12 Years a Slave, and I think it's better than Gravity, I loved Gravity, and I love Alfonso Cuarón. I feel like I'm still mad about Children of Men all those years ago, and I am thrilled that he's going to be winning, and I don't really even think it takes anything away from 12 Years a Slave, which is a giant accomplishment, and Steve McQueen, I expect to make more giant accomplishments in the future. Oh, and Smee on Best Picture. I guess I've kind of given it away. I think 12 Years a Slave will win. I think it should win. I'm excited to see that happen. I mean, I guess if I think it through, I can buy the idea of Gravity coming up from behind and sweeping everything and winning Best Picture, but I still think the Academy is not going to vote against the slavery movie out of fear. I think they're too afraid of being the people who voted against the slavery movie, so I think it's going to get in there.
That's a depressing reason for it to win.
Well, I think it's also a great movie, but I think the idea that they're not going to vote for it because they don't want to watch it is counterbalanced by the fact that they feel the need to vote for it for those reasons. And then they'll see it and think that it's a great movie, like, because it is, and then it will win.
I do also think it's going to win, but I'm not, but I will be biting my nails all night because I think it's right on the line. Because the last time I felt that nervous, my favorite lost, which was Brokeback Mountain. And I had somewhere I was going with this, I apologize. but I do think, I am actually not of the opinion that people checking all the below-the-line boxes for Gravity is going to help it win Best Picture. I think what could just as easily happen in people's minds as they're checking all the boxes is that they're like, well, I've given a lot to this picture already. So if they aren't completely 100% behind that picture, I could see them being like, oh, this movie is important, and I'm giving all these other prizes to this other picture.
Which it has consistently demonstrated through all the other award ceremonies, it is capable of winning Best Picture, even when it barely takes home anything else. And I think it will win. I think The Hurt Locker is very inspiring of me in this moment, that it would have been tempting to vote for Avatar, but they really did vote for something that looked like It seemed like a boost for a movie that Hollywood's not very good at making. And and I think if Catherine Bigelow didn't have the narrative behind her that she did, this could easily have been a Cameron Hurt Locker vote, and that still would have happened. And I think this will be a Cuarón 12 Years a Slave. And I think that's a great response to a really good year of movie making for both of those to get a top prize.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like we've seen enough in this award season of shows where 12 Years a Slave has gone empty-handed almost up until the very last and then pulled it out at the end to feel like that's how it's probably going to go this time as well. I think it was Wesley Morris who said after the Golden Globes that there was a sort of galvanizing sense after that show almost went without giving 12 Years a Slave anything, and then it pulled it out at the end and everybody kind of sort of slapped a lot of people awake, and I feel like there was a lot of emotion in that room being like, yes, this should have won. And there's been a lot of time since the Golden Globes to now for people to think of other things, but I think ultimately it'll be close, but I think 12 Years a Slave will win. And it should. That would be my vote, for sure.
So there are our predictions and our ballots. So thanks for listening, and I want to thank my guests. And as your exit, I would like to know, if you were to present an Oscar, which Oscar would you want to present and with whom? Let's start with Katie.
Ooh, okay. I think I want to present cinematography because I want to give Emmanuel Lubezki his first Oscar. I'm just from a very pompous point of view, I want to be there for it. And I don't know, I think Will Ferrell is pretty good at these things. I think he makes everyone funnier when they're with him, and I would need all the help I could get. So give me someone who's funny like Will Ferrell.
Nick?
I would also like to present cinematography, but I hadn't thought of Katie's reason, which is better. I just want to make the joke about how cinematographers help me not look like what I look like in the morning, because that's always a really fresh joke. And I think I want to present it with Ben Stiller, because he's always so just a new choice every year when he's out. I bet he's in a really good mood this year. And, so that couldn't go wrong.
But you can make a Beyonce Flawless joke for the, you know, I woke up like this. So that'd be fresh now.
That's true. I would want to present something sort of seemingly less important, like an animated short or something like that, because I feel like those are the presentations that they let the presenters sort of cut loose a little more, and throw me in with some actually funny people like Alice and Janney or Catherine Hahn or Amy Poehler or something like that, and let them be funny and sort of raise my humor level by association. And everybody would say, God, Joe was really funny at the Oscars, when really it was just other people being funny next to me. So.
I almost said the shorts just because then you then get to hand an Oscar to the most ecstatic person you've ever seen.
That is totally true. Yeah.
That's a good reason, because I was going to say I would you know, want to cheat and demand that I know the winner before I picked my category so that I don't end up handing an award to Hilary Swank or something.
She's not nominated in animated short.
You never know, Katie. It could happen at any moment.
She could have been made one under a pseudonym. like you notice they changed the nomination for editing because it wasn't actually that McMurphy guy. It was actually Jean-Marc Vallée. So for a little Dallas Buyers Club trivia for all of you.
Movie that almost starred Hilary Swank, so you just brought it in the circle.
Yeah, there we go.
I would want to present, you know, just some random thing, let's say makeup and hair, but I'd want to present it with an animated character.
Ooh, pressure.
Because I don't want to stand next to any movie star, because then you always look terrible in comparison. And it would be fun.
Gene Hackman, safe, insurance, you'll look great.
But especially since he won't show, since he's, you know, vanished from the face of the earth.
That's true.
Yay, well, thanks for listening to this special edition, the last podcast before the big night. We'd love to hear your comments on our should wins and will wins, and thanks for listening all season. We will be back at some point after the Oscars for a takeaway session. Before we'll take a little break and the new season of the podcast will begin. So thanks for listening. Thanks, guys.
Thanks. Bye.
Let's go play some ping pong.
Chinese ping pong. That is a great idea for a new award. The dubious moments and otherwise good movies.
Yeah, let's make it happen.
What was the... other than Gravity, what was the next thing?
The conversation about the third novel.
Oh, right.
And Before Midnight.
A little on the nose there for you, huh, Nick?
Oh, my God.